Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. I want you all to know that if you're going to sing, sing like that. If you want the preacher to be fired up before he comes up to preach, sing like that. You all were lifting up your voices to our Almighty God, and I am grateful to be here with you all, singing praises to him as well. To those of you who are visiting, let me start off by saying we are glad that you're here. And we hope that any time that you're able to visit with us, it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us remember to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keeping the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us is to continue to have love for one another as Christ also loved us. Let us also have a zeal and a desire for his word, a thirst for the knowledge of the infallible word of God. And lastly, let us have a mind to work, being busy about our Father's business and doing things for the sake of his kingdom. And no matter what, through the ups and downs, through the triumphs, through the losses, I want you to know that I love you and there's nothing you can do about that. I'm using my computer this morning. The font is a little small, so you have to work with me today. I want you to think about something before we begin. Did you know the word hate has four letters? So does love. Enemy has seven letters. So does friends. Lying has five, and so does truth. Cry has three, and so does joy. Negativity has 10, and so does positivity. Life is two-sided. Choose the better side of it. Think on these things. Beginning this morning, I will begin to preach a short series of lessons coming from God's word from the topic, hard conversations. Hard conversations. And these lessons are on things that are sometimes hard to hear and even talk about. And mainly it's because it's something that affects us personally. These are the things that we have suffered. These are the things that we may be currently struggling with or going through or even have fears about. Sometimes it's about the thing that the world wants us to do, and that is to close a blind eye to the sin and the ugliness of this world. But whatever the case may be, it is important for us to understand that hard conversations are necessary to remind us that those things in this world aren't the things we need to be focusing on. We need to be remembering that this world is not our home. And one day, saints, this will all be over. And beloved, judgment from God is real and it is coming to us all. 17 years ago, in an August 2005 Newsweek and BeliefNet, they asked 1,004 Americans what they believed and how they practiced their faith. And among these questions was this one: can a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? Well, I want you to know that the evangelical Protestants, 68% said yes, 22% said no, and 10% said they did not know. The non-evangelical Protestants said 83% says yes, and 10% said no, and 7% said they did not know. Catholics, 91% said yes, 3% said no, and 6% said they did not know. And the non-Christians, 73% said yes, 3% said no, and 24% said they did not know. Which brings us to a total of the average of 79% of people believe that if you're not of their religious faith, you can still go to heaven and obtain salvation. 12% says no, and 9% still don't know. Now, I really want you to think about this. This was about 17 years ago. All right? This was done 17 years ago. So imagine with the more progressive, tolerant, inclusive worldview that we have today, what these numbers would assuredly look like today. These are all the people who believe that whether you are practicing faith or not, you have an opportunity to go to heaven. So this would suggest that most believe that many will be saved. You know, this is disheartening. And the most disheartening thing is that when a person is gone up, they have given up the ghost, and you're at that funeral, and you know that they have rejected God. You know that they didn't have a personal relationship with our Father. They lived an ungodly life. And then the preacher gets up and say things like he or she is now in heaven. Listen, final judgment belongs to God, but I want you to know that we can be assured that God's word is true. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, it says something very important. So if you have your Bibles with you or your electronic devices, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 10 very quickly. And as you do so, I want you to think on the sermon title this morning, On That Day, Many Will Say. On that day, many will say. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 9, the infallible word of God says this, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. A need for us to be mindful that God is serious about his kingdom. I need you to know that there are many who will not be saved. I need for you to understand that only a few will be saved. Jesus was asked a similar question in Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 23. That's Luke 13, beginning with verse 23. And the infallible word of God says this, and someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. And I want you to know that most people believe that they are good, and as a result, that they will get to go to heaven when they die. Yet few people actually know God and what he has called us to do. I want you to think about that. Many believe that they will go, but they do not know how to get there. They do not know the instructions of what God has said concerning the matter of lifestyle that one needs to live. Many have built up a hope based on false perceptions of themselves, right? Because the good outweighs their bad. Many have placed hope in the church in which they grew up in. Many have relied on the assumption that the family is Christian, or they've relied on their favorite Bible passage, or they've relied on the priests, but not in the reality of what Christ has done. So, a little while this morning, I'm going to look at 3 points. Will, I promise it will be quick. Not 45. I'm going to give you 35. You cool with that? All right. The first point is a few will be saved. Back in Matthew chapter 7, looking at verses 13 through 14, Jesus has disclosed to his disciples about the narrow and the gate, right? He says, enter in by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. We have been given a choice to choose the right way. And if our fruits are rotten, we are in big trouble, beloved. So not because God is out to get us in a game of got you, but because he loves us so. So if it is we, humanity, who decides to go our own way, right, causing God to chase us down, but he will not force us to conform to his way. His way is offered, but it is up to us to accept it. I think we would do well to remember something very important. We are in Genesis now, and we've talked about Noah, and we've talked about all the things that are going on with the flood and pertaining to his family. We do understand that only 8 souls were saved during the flood. 8. He destroyed the whole world, and only 8 were saved. In Genesis 19, 24 through 30, only 3 souls escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his daughters. In Numbers 14, 26 through 32, only 2 men out of 603,550 over the age of 20 were permitted to enter into the land of Canaan. That was Caleb and Joshua. And I want you to understand that these are real people in real situations in their time, right? And they were the ones who obeyed God and found escape from destruction. Key, they were the ones who obeyed God and fled from destruction. They were the ones who obeyed. They weren't the ones who just believed. They obeyed what God had told them to do. And sadly, there will be few who find their way that leads to their everlasting life. So what is the way that leads to life everlasting? And again, we find that Jesus taught something very important. And what he says is, he is the only way. He is the only way. In John chapter 14, looking at verse 6, the infallible word of God says, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's an exception. Right? So that's like me saying everyone here today will get $100 if they pray for 1 hour. And those of you who do not pray for 1 hour, the exception is you don't get $100. So he's saying no one can come to the Father except through me. It is only through me. It is only through my son. And again, many believe that all religious people will be saved. And as some part of it, it doesn't really matter what you believe just as long as you are religious. And that's what's being taught. As long as you're religious, as long as you're a good person, you pay your taxes on time, you're a good father, you're a good husband. I'm a mother who's a part of the PTA, and I take care of my husband. I take care of all these things. That's good enough to get you in heaven. People are relying on their good deeds and the fact that they know that Jesus exists. They believe in God, but they do not obey him. There are so many religious entities and people worshiping and praying and honoring, but the one true God. And yet Jesus taught that no one comes to the Father but through him. And no matter how famous the person is, I don't care how big the church is. I don't care how many views you got, how many social media platforms you have, how many books that you have out that are bestsellers. None of that matters if you're not in the will of the Father. If you're not being obedient to what he requires, then none of it matters. God is the true Alpha and Omega. He is the everlasting to everlasting. And I think we need to understand that man needs more than to be religious. He needs salvation, and that's only through Christ. So let's look at some religious people that needed salvation from God. All right? You remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was a religious person. It tells us in Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. And yet he was directed by the holy angels to get Peter to tell him what he needed to hear. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 22, it says this about Cornelius. It says, and then they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright God-fearing man who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation. So you have a man who knows about God. He's a religious person. He was spoken well of by the nation and his community. And he still had to hear what Peter had to say. Cornelius, he listened. Cornelius obeyed. And Cornelius was baptized. And his whole household was saved. He needed more than being a good man. He needed more than just being or having a good name. He needed more than just, you know, giving of the community. He needed more than that. He needed Christ, our Savior. God is connected with our obedience and faith. And what we do with that, he gives. Think about it. There are a few more examples of many other religious people who needed salvation. We have the devout Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 5, 36 through 38. We have the devout returning from worship at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 16. We also had the devout Saul, who just knew that he was doing the Lord's will, over in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9. But what I need for us to understand that being religious is not enough. And one can truly become a Christian if they believe that salvation can be found outside of Christ. It cannot. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, I don't care who you are, how well respected you are, how much money you make, how much knowledge you possess, how many accolades you possess, you cannot come to the Father if you do not have a relationship or believe that the Son is the way. So I want you to note that Jesus also taught that salvation is for those who obey. Obedience is essential for salvation. You know, and many think that all who believe in Jesus will be saved. There are a lot of people that believe in Jesus. There are a lot of people who believe that God exists. There are those who will believe that they will be saved by faith only, and there is no need for obedience. I have faith. I believe that's just enough. That'll get me over the hump. That'll get me into the pearly gates. And yet Jesus warned those who believed in him but were lost. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. So not everyone who says, I love you, Lord. Not everyone who prays. Not everyone who sits on a pew. Not everyone who gets dressed up on Sunday. Not everyone who can wax elegantly and put on a good face will get to the kingdom of heaven. But the one that will is the one who's willing to do the will of my Father. The one who's willing to be obedient to the things that I'm telling them to do. And it's not just belief alone. It's belief plus obedience that matters. I want you to look at that verse again. That verse says, Lord, Lord. And when you see the name double, especially God's name, it indicates an extra intimacy. When you say, Lord, Lord. So when we profess Christ as Lord or make that public testimony, right, we are declaring that Jesus is Christ and he has a hold on our life. He holds our very heart in his hand. And now, through eternity, we will serve him. We will be righteous. We will do the best that we can to keep our eyes fixed on him, right? And that transcends human understanding. We are no longer of this world. The moment that we put Christ on in baptism, the moment we say that I will give myself away to you, Lord, fully and totally, I'm giving myself away to you. I am belonging to you as your child. I am saved and redeemed. In these verses, they believed him to be their Lord. That's why they said, Lord, Lord. There are many people who believe that they're serving God, but they're not. There are many people who are practicing things and believe it. They spent their lives in service to the Lord. There's no way. There's no way that I'm praying. There's no way that I go to somebody's church and I'm going to hell. There's no way. There's no way you can say to me, Lord, you don't depart from me, for I never knew you. You workers of iniquity, depart from me. There's no way you can say that. I go to church all the time. I'm a good person. I'm a good husband. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm a good wife. I'm a good child. I'm supposed to go to heaven. But the kicker was the exception of they did not do the Father's will. You know, I'm a true and firm believer that you can be sincere about anything. You can have passion. You can have zeal. You know, you can be all about it. I'm going to get this done. I believe in this wholeheartedly. And I will always tell people that you can be sincere and passionate about anything, but you can also be sincerely wrong. There are a lot of people who are very sincere about their beliefs, and I don't take that from them. There are a lot of people who are practicing things and they believe that it is pleasing to God and it is not. There is a difference. There is acceptable worship and there is unacceptable worship. There are acceptable things and unacceptable things. That applies to us as human beings. There are things that are acceptable and unacceptable. We do not accept everything, so why do we expect God to? You couldn't go to a restaurant and they brought you out some cold food. You couldn't go to a restaurant and they had your order all wrong. You said, I specifically asked for this and you brought out this. And you're going to give them a what for and what to and say that I'm not paying for any of this. Or where's your manager? Who's in charge? Because I have an expectation. I'm a paying customer. I came in here and paid my money. I expect to have good service and good food, and it needs to be hot. We will stand up and we will make corrections where it needs to be made when it pertains to the things of this world. But when it pertains to our spirituality and following Christ to the T, we act like we do not have a clue or a bone in our body to stand for the truth. I want you to know that Jesus is the author of our salvation. And it's to those who obey him, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And I need for us to understand that the end of those who do not obey his gospel is hell. That's it. You will be separated from him forever. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, looking at verses 7 through 9, the infallible word of God says this, "And I grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us." And when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. It says, "I'm going to inflict vengeance on those who do not know me, who do not have a personal relationship with me. I'm going to inflict vengeance upon those and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." He didn't say, you know what, those who obey the words of Calvinism, you're fine because you're practicing some type of religion. Those of you who are practicing Hinduism, it's okay. You will be just fine. You want to follow Charles Spurgeon, that's fine. John Calvin, that's fine. If you want to get into Jehovah's Witness, you that's fine. You get to come in. Matter of fact, everybody gets to come in. Whatever you're doing, however you're living, everybody gets to come in. That is not what the Word of God says. It says those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the words that are written in this book, the words that's the biblical map for our eternity. If you're not following that gospel, if you're not preaching that gospel, if you're not being obedient to that gospel, you will not get into heaven. It says that they will suffer punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. You know, I always love to tell the and give the illustration about why a person does what they do. You know, why I believe what I believe. And a lot of people, it's just tradition. That's the way we've always done it. That's the church I've always gone to. That's what we've always, you know, he's been a preacher in our family, and he's a friend of the family. He's been in our lives ever since I was a little boy. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it acceptable, and it doesn't make it pleasing to God. And yeah, they may be a dynamic speaker. They may be a great orator. They may be a very sincere individual who cares about your family and cares about you living a wonderful life and succeeding in life. But it doesn't make it right if it does not line up with the will and the word of God. Hell is a real place. And I know we talk about heaven and we talk about the goodness and the mercy of God and the grace that he extends to us, but hell is real. It's a real place. If heaven is real, then hell is real. And you have to choose which side that you are going to be on, who you're going to serve. Listen, hell is real, and it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have with those that you love to tell them that what you're practicing is wrong. What you believe in, the way you've been living is wrong. The way mama told you is wrong. The way grandmama said it is wrong. That's a hard conversation to have, but it's necessary if you want to get to heaven.
I love the illustration. You know, It was Christmas time, and Grandma was in the kitchen making the ham. You know how the ham is during Christmas time. Got all the fixings on it, all the brown sugar and all that, and they cut the ends of the ham off. And a daughter was in there, and she said, "Great Grandma, why do you always cut off the ends of the ham?" And she says, "Well, I don't know. Why don't you ask your Great Grandma when she get here?" And then great-grandma gets there, the ham is ready, everybody's sitting around the table, they're getting ready to say the family prayer, and one of the youngest of the family sisters said to the great-grandma, great-grandma, listen to me, we've been cutting off the ends of the ham ever since I can remember, ever since I was a little girl. Why do we cut off the ends of the ham?" And They thought, I guess it was for the flavor. All that, I mean, you cut off the ends of the ham for the flavor. You cut off the ends of the ham so it could just be juicy and tender, right? And great-grandma looked at him and says, I don't know why you cut off the ends of the ham, but I cut off the ends of the ham because it was too big for the pan. A tradition that they did, that they practiced, and all throughout the generations, they came up with the reasons why the cutting off the ends of the ham was the right way to do it. The reason why we practiced it. That's why we cut off the ends of the ham. There are many people who are practicing religions and practicing things, and they don't know why, but it's based on mama, grandmama, religion, and what we've always done, never considering that the way I've done it is the wrong way. Let me tell you something. It's a reason why he says it's hard. It's a reason why to enter in through the narrow gate is harder. See, the wide and the easy way is the way that everybody's doing it. But the way that's difficult is the way that leads to life. That's the way that leads to life. It's a reason why everybody is not going to make it. There's a reason why only few are going to make it, because only few are willing to stand for the truth. Only a few are willing to have the hard conversation. It's a hard conversation to have with a husband or a wife. That's a hard conversation to have with a long-time friend. That's a hard conversation to have with mom or dad. That what you all are doing, it doesn't line up with the word of God. These are man-made religions that we're practicing. These are man-made concepts that we're following. And I want you to understand something. If you think by any means that God is playing when he says that I will destroy this whole world, and if only eight are found, then eight will be found. He did it before and he'll do it again. He's the same God he was back then as he is today. He hadn't changed. He means everything that he says. And I'm telling you, it should bother you, right? So much that you want to know more about God and what I can do to live a life pleasing to him. Because if I'm not, I want to change it. God sent his son, an obedient son who gave his life on Calvary, for the love of this humanity. And I'm telling you that if you're not doing it the right way, it's. I just hate on the day of judgment that you have to find out that you were wrong. I tell people, I always err on the side of caution. Most people can't stand insurance, right? Because it's a ripoff. I spent all this money on insurance and I barely use it. But insurance ain't even that important until you need it. Insurance is a pain until you need it. And my point is this. If you're not assured or insured with your salvation by doing what God has asked you to do, when the day of judgment comes and all the claims come in, will you be covered? Will you be covered? Will he be able to say to you, because you were insured and you followed and you made your spiritual payments on time, you didn't allow it to lapse, you paid what you're supposed to pay by being obedient to me, doing what you're supposed to do, you're covered. So enter in, thy good and faithful servant. Or will you be the person that said, well, you know, I just didn't really know, and I wasn't sure because I felt like it was a hoax. I felt like all this Bible stuff in these stories, I didn't really know that it was real. And then you find out on the day that it was real. The day that you're in that accident and the police pull up and you tear up somebody else's car and they give you that bill and you don't have no insurance, you got to find a way to pay for that. So my point is this. At the end of the day, when the judgment is there, you will pay for every sin. You will pay for every accident you had spiritually, you will pay for. Unless you make a decision today to follow Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you don't know him, you are missing out on a love like none other, beloved. I know it's cool to have some comforting doctrine to tell you that you all going to heaven, that everything is all right, that you don't have anything to work towards. You don't have any responsibilities. You don't have any accountability. You can just live your life any way you want to. And we have a loving God that doesn't care. He doesn't care if you come to church once a year, twice a month, or whenever you feel like it. He doesn't care that you don't really have a real prayer life. He doesn't really care that you don't read his word or want to know about what he's telling you and commanding you to do. No, none of that. Everybody can get here. That's comforting, but that's not the truth. But if anybody really desires to follow Jesus, they must abide in his teaching. And that's just the bottom line. You got to abide in his teaching. I'll close with this. What is the Father's will? It begins with repentance, confession of Jesus as Lord, by faith in Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21, Romans 10:10. Then still being obedient to the gospel, we are baptized for the remission of our sins, changing who we are, changing our mindset, living a new life. And we must listen to what God is telling us to do. And then we must live our lives with a character destined to love and be fully committed and to serve God with every fiber of our being. So I simply want to say, if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, and maybe you believe that you are, maybe you believe that you're saved, and maybe you were baptized at a young age, maybe you have a lot of questions, maybe you're just not, whatever that may be, I'll be willing to talk. I'll be willing to spend time in the gospel truth with you so we can get you to the answers that you need answered. But I'll tell you this, time is not on our side. And if there's a void in your heart that you're trying to fill with everything else but God and his will for your life, then you are sadly mistaken. And if you are a Christian and you have been struggling with some things, and maybe you have one foot in the church, maybe you are the ones that are struggling. Maybe you are visiting some other congregations. Maybe you're practicing some other beliefs. Maybe you're battling with some things. Whatever it may be, you have an opportunity to make that right. But the last thing, remember, as you walk away, as believers, as followers of Christ, I don't ever want it to be a time where you are unwilling to share the gospel or tell people the truth, because it's a hard conversation. Be willing to stand up and stand up for Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you have a need, you need the prayers of the church, you want to put Christ on in baptism, you want to repent of your sins, whatever that may be, come now. It's together we stand and together we sing.